Hello, you can find me at Tarot360 Astrology on Instagram if you wish to know anything more. I'm going to talk about the moon, and it's in three different sections. Part one would be what the moon actually is, and part two is working with your moon, and then part three is the moon through the 12 houses for astrology with the wheel. So let's talk about the moon. The moon is your body and emotion and survival. Ancient astrologers didn't romanticize the moon. They respected it. So what the moon actually is, this would be part one. The moon is not your feelings in a cute poetic sense. The moon is your survival system. It governs your nervous system, your habits, your emotional reactions, your physical rhythms, and something most people forget to mention, your memory. And not just what you remember in your mind, what your body remembers. Every time you felt safe, every time you didn't, every time you felt held, every time you were left alone. The moon cataloged all of it. And it is still running that file. While the sun is your spirit, who you're becoming, what you're here to do, the moon is your lived experience. It's what you do when you're tired, stressed, hungry, ignored, or emotionally triggered. And boy, do people get emotionally triggered from very little things these days. I refer to those people as snowflakes. Delicate little snowflakes. I like to be coddled like a baby. So, that's your moon. And honestly, that's your real personality. You are not your sun when everything's going great. You are your moon when life gets inconvenient. The moon is your past. Not in a sentimental way, in a cellular way. Your childhood home, your mother, or whoever raised you. Your first experience of safety, or the absence of it. The moon holds all of that and replays it constantly. Which is why certain places feel like home the moment you walk in. Why certain people feel like danger before they've done a single thing wrong. That's your moon pattern, matching against everything you've ever survived. It is trying to protect you, even when it doesn't need to anymore. The moon moves fast. The moon is the fastest moving body in the sky. She moves through all 12 signs in roughly 28 days, about 2.5 days per sign. Your emotional landscape shifts whether you're ready for it or not. This is why you are not the same person on Monday that you were on Friday. Your moon didn't betray you. The moon moved. Which explains why one day you feel powerful and clear, and the next, you're considering moving to another country and reinventing your entire life. That is not a life crisis. That is the moon doing quality control. There is dependency and receptivity involved with the moon. Traditional astrologers understood the moon as representing dependency. What you feel safe doing and that need that's involved with that. And what you rely on and what you genuinely cannot function without. But here's the part people skip. The moon does not generate her own light. She reflects the sun's. That is not a flaw. That is her nature. Which means your moon doesn't just show what you need. It shows how you receive, how you take in love and nourishment and comfort and care. Some people receive through words, some through physical presence, some through routine and consistency. Your moon sign tells you which. The moon also rules cycles, not just moods, actual biological cycles, such as sleep and appetite and energy and hormones. Ignore those cycles long enough and the moon doesn't ask nicely. It takes. There'll be fatigue. There'll be brain fog. There'll be emotional flooding. That's not weakness. That's an unpaid debt to your own biology. So when people say heal your moon, what they really mean is stop ignoring your basic human needs like you're above them. You're not. Even kings had to eat, sleep, feel secure, and go home to something familiar. Until you honor it, the rest of your chart is just potential sitting in a body running on empty. Well, here's part two, working with your moon. Traditional astrology was never just about describing your nature. It was about working with it. And here's five different steps or things you can do. Number one, learn your moon sign's needs. If you don't know your moon sign, look it up. You need your birth date, time, and location. Then ask, what does this moon sign need to feel safe? A Taurus moon needs physical comfort and routine. A Gemini moon needs mental stimulation. A Scorpio moon needs depth and emotional honesty. Seems like that Scorpio moon needs to go deep, or maybe likes to go deep. That's interesting. I know a couple of people Scorpio moon, and that would fit with them. When you meet the need, the moon stops reacting. When you ignore it, it gets louder. Number two, track your moods against the moon. For 1 month, note what sign the moon is in each day alongside how you actually feel. After 30 days, patterns will emerge, and that information is yours to use. Number three, respect your rest cycles. Pushing through exhaustion is not discipline. It is working against your own lunar nature. Pay attention to when your body genuinely wants to slow down. Now, as I've said before, some people are too poor to pay attention. Give it rest and nourishment and something familiar. You are not lazy for having a body with needs. We all have needs. Number four, do a weekly emotional check-in. Once a week, ask yourself, what did I actually need this week that I didn't ask for? Where did I react from habit rather than choice? What made me feel genuinely safe and at home? These bypass the performance and go straight to what the survival system is doing. Number five, feed the moon before it demands it. If your moon needs connection, schedule it. If it needs solitude, protect it. If it needs beauty, ritual, or comfort, build it into your week. The moon rewards consistency because it is the part of you that trusts patterns. So build good ones. Well, here's the part three. This is the moon through all 12 of the houses in astrology. In traditional astrology, the houses are the 12 sectors of the sky at the moment you were born. Where the moon falls reveals which area of life your emotional system is most active in, where your need for safety is loudest, and where you react first. So, the first house is the self and body. Your emotions are written on your face. You cannot hide how you feel. Your mood changes your entire physical presence. You absorb the mood of every room you enter. You may be seen as emotional or moody, but that's just what actually is happening. And it may be radical, but it's honest. So the work is learning to be present in your sensitivity without apologizing for it. Now, the second house. That's resources and security. Your emotional security is tied to material stability. When finances feel solid, you feel solid. Some people do like when things are solid. It can be a good time. When money is uncertain, your entire emotional state follows. Financial stability isn't about wealth for you. It's about steadiness. Build routines and safety nets accordingly. So the work here is separating your sense of worth from your bank balance. They are not the same thing. So the third house. This is mind and communication. You process emotion through communication. You think out loud. You need to talk through your feelings to understand them. Writing or journaling or texting. It's all how you regulate. Silence doesn't comfort you. Words do. So the work here is making sure you process out loud with the right people. Not everyone deserves access to your inner monologue. Great point. The fourth house. This is your home and foundation. This is one of the most powerful placements. The moon rules the fourth house naturally. This is her home. Home is everything for you. Not just a physical space, but a felt sense of belonging and roots and emotional safety. Your family of origin, its patterns, wounds, and strengths is deeply imprinted on you. Your home environment must be a sanctuary. If it isn't, your whole life feels off. So the work here is knowing when you're retreating to restore and when you're retreating to avoid. The fifth house. This is about creativity and pleasure. Your emotional life is nourished by joy. Not forced positivity, but real pleasure. Creative expression and play and spontaneity and warmth. When you're creating or experiencing a delight, your nervous system regulates. When your life feels joyless, you become emotionally flat. Play is not optional for you. It is medicine. So the work here is giving yourself permission to enjoy your life, not earning it, just enjoying it. The sixth house. This is health and daily work. Your emotional health and physical health are deeply linked. Stress hits the body first. When your body routine, which is daily, feels meaningful, you will feel well. When your work feels pointless, the body protests. Routine is your emotional anchor. Don't underestimate it. So the work here is building daily rituals that nourish the body, not just systems that optimize productivity. The seventh house. This is about partnerships. You regulate emotionally through relationship. You feel most when yourself is in a close partnership. You think in terms of we. Your emotional security is deeply connected to the quality of your most important relationships. Your partnerships are not casual. They are central to your emotional survival system. Choose them with that knowledge. The work here is making sure you're not outsourcing your emotional regulation entirely to another person. Partnerships nourish you. They should not be responsible for completing you. The eighth house. This is about depth and transformation. Your emotional life does not stay on the surface, ever. You feel things at a depth most people don't reach. Drawn to intensity, to what's hidden, to the psychological undercurrent beneath ordinary life. Traditional astrologers saw this as a placement of emotional power and profound transformation, often through loss or crisis. Shallow relationships do not satisfy you. You need depth, or you check out entirely. The work here is learning to move through intensity without being consumed by it. The deep end is your home, but you still need to be able to surface. Sometimes when people go deep, they forget to come up for air. So, you know, just be aware of that. The ninth house. This is about belief and meaning. Your emotional security is tied to having a worldview that makes sense to you. You need to believe in something, such as a philosophy, a spiritual practice, a framework for understanding why things happen. When that meaning is intact, you feel grounded. When it shatters, you become unmoored in a way that goes beyond ordinary grief. Learning is nourishment for you. Travel, even minor changes of scenery, genuinely reset your emotional state. The work here is building a belief system flexible enough to hold uncertainty without collapsing. The 10th house. This is career and public life. Your emotional life plays out in public, whether you want it to or not. Your professional life and emotional state are deeply linked. Your career needs to feel emotionally meaningful. Just a paycheck will not sustain you long term. Traditional astrologers saw this as one of the strongest placements for public prominence, but noted that reputation fluctuates like the moon itself. The work here is separating your emotional worth from your professional success. They can coexist without being the same thing. The 11th house, community and belonging. Your emotional security is rooted in belonging, not just one relationship, but a community, a tribe. When you feel part of something larger than yourself, you feel stable. When you feel isolated or cast out, your entire system destabilizes. Find your people deliberately. You don't just want community. You need it biologically. The work here is maintaining your own emotional identity within the collective. Belonging doesn't mean dissolving. Don't lose yourself in the bigger picture or scheme. The 12th house. The hidden and the unconscious is what this is about. This is one of the most private placements for the moon. Your emotional life is largely invisible, even to you. You feel deeply, but often don't know what you feel until much later. Emotions process on a delay. You carry things silently for a long time before they surface. Solitude is not a luxury for you. It is where your emotional system actually processes. The work here is trusting what you feel, even when you can't explain it. Your moon is working in the background, It knows more than your conscious mind gives it credit for. So there it is, an overview of the moon as it is, and then also some work for you to do concerning it. And then also it explained through all 12 houses. It's your survival system, your emotional body, your past, your cycles, your needs. Not a soft poetic symbol, a living, moving, constant presence in your chart and in your life. The moon doesn't ask for your attention politely. It waits until you're tired enough to listen. So maybe listen now. Try being silent and listen and go back and re-listen to everything that I said so it makes sense to you and you have a deeper understanding of it all. Look up your moon sign. Find out what house it's in and ask yourself honestly, am I actually giving this part of me what it needs? Are you nourishing yourself emotionally at the core? That's what you really need to question and be aware of. A lot of people lack self-awareness and also accountability. People like to deflect and project. Thank you for listening to everything, and I hope it resonated with you and you have a better, deeper understanding of aspects and characteristics about the moon. As always, remember to stand in your own truth.
If you like these daily horoscopes and want one personalized for you, same style, 3 minutes, about your chart, you can book a first impression reading at iamastrologyreadings.com for $25 and I'll record it, drop it right here on the feed. Tips is also welcome, even a dollar helps. Full deep dive readings also available. Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, all at I Am Astrology Readings. My brother's gotta eat too. I appreciate you in advance.